Let's pray. Father, I pray that would be the cry of our hearts right now. Give me Jesus. Lord, there is simply nothing else that will satisfy. Nothing else that can change our hearts today. Nothing else that can fill us the way you can. So God, we say right now, give us Jesus. It's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 11. We're going to look in the 11th chapter this morning for a little while and look at some more blessings. Last week we looked at Job and the blessings that God sent in his life. A lot of times we have things come in our life that are trials and struggles and we don't see them much as blessings. I'm sure when Job was getting those four messengers and they were pounding him with the news about all the things that he had lost and then ultimately losing his sons and daughters, Job didn't feel like he was being blessed a whole lot. But even after that, he still did not curse God. Even after that, he praised God. And then as if things weren't bad enough, God allows Job to experience even more when Satan says, you know, skin for skin. Yeah, he can stand losing all that stuff. But what about harming him? And God says, okay, but don't kill him. And then Satan strikes his body with boils to the point that Job wants to scrape his body with shards of pottery. What an awful place to be. And yet, even in the midst of that, Job does not curse God. His wife says, you might as well admit it. You've done something wrong. Curse God and die. Job doesn't turn his back on God. Now, as you read on through the book of Job, you know that Job did question God. Job did wonder why these things were happening. And ultimately, God rewarded him in the end for his endurance. God gave him back twice as much as what he had before. God blessed him even through all of those trials that he went through. This morning, we're going to look at blessings in disguise, too. Last week's message was blessings in disguise, and this is two. But we're going to look at Mary and Martha's blessings. That didn't feel so much like a blessing at the time. It's not unnatural for us to wonder why bad things happen to good people. But the truth of the matter is, bad things do happen to good people, and it's easy for us to get discouraged when we feel like we're doing what God wants us to do, when we feel like we're walking with God, and yet it seems like things just heap up and get worse and worse, and God seems to put more on us than we can bear. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God makes very clear, He won't put more on us than we can bear with His help. Too many Christians stop without the last part of that statement. Well, God will never put more on you than you can bear. Yes, He will, but He'll never put more on you than you can bear with His help. So look to Him when you find those times of struggle. This morning we're going to look at the text in John 11 where we see these blessings that came into Mary and Martha's life. Didn't feel so much like blessings at the time. John chapter 11 beginning in verse 1, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. John chapter 11 verse 1. Now a man was sick, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sister sent a message to him, Lord, the one you love is sick. When Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. May the Lord add to the reading of His Word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the fact that even when we don't understand the trials, God, You have a purpose and a plan and ultimately blessings even through the trials. God, help us right now as we look at Mary and Martha's life to see the blessings that You brought to them through their hardship. God, soften our hearts right now that we might hear from You. And Lord, I pray that I might decrease, that You might increase, that Your truth would be spoken here. It's in Your precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. In this text, we find three stages of Mary and Martha's blessings. Three stages of Mary and Martha's blessing. The first stage was Mary and Martha's concern. Now, I don't know about you, but there is nothing that feels more like a blessing than concern. I mean, I enjoy sitting around worrying and being concerned about something going on in my life or some people in my life. I mean, nothing is just quite as relaxing as an evening of worry. Okay. Not so much. But let's face it, we all probably know people who seem to operate in that mode. Not happy unless they're worrying about something. But I believe we'd all agree that concern and worry is something that we don't want in our life. Even more than that, we're actually instructed in God's word to be anxious for nothing. Not to worry, but instead to bring it to him in prayer. Mary and Martha were battling worry and concern over their brother Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was sick, and we're not really told in the text exactly what was going on. We can probably surmise to some degree and assume that he looked awful, that he was probably pale and feverish, looked like death warmed over, because they were so concerned about him that they were sending word for Jesus to come. They were sending word. They wanted Jesus to know that their brother was sick. They wanted him to come and heal their brother. But let's be honest. Jesus didn't come right away. And isn't that what we want him to do? We want him to come right when we want him to come. Right when we cry out to him. Right when we think the need is at its greatest, we think he should come and he should respond right then and there. We find ourselves in the midst of a struggle or a trial, and it doesn't take us 10 seconds to get upset and to cry foul and say, God, where are you? I want you to step in and remove me from this trial. The problem being is that we forget that God has a purpose in the trial. We forget that God wants to grow us through the trial. God doesn't allow things to happen to us accidentally, and while we might not understand, we can trust that he knows what is best, and we need to go through what we're going through. Doesn't always feel like it in the midst of it. When Haley was about 2 or so years old, she got sick. And I don't mean she got a little bit sick. She got real bad sick. We took her to the doctor. The doctor said it was a virus. We took her back home. It didn't let up. It didn't relent. She just kept staying awful, awful sick. So we took her back to the doctor. Well, I'll never forget being in that pediatrician's room and him examining her, and then him literally pulling up the skin on her abdomen and then watching it retract incredibly slowly. He said, that's a sign of dehydration. He sent us across the street to the hospital, directly admitted her into the hospital. She had something called the rotavirus. She couldn't keep anything in. It was a horrible, horrible time, and I'll never forget, you know, when you get dehydrated, you need to be put on IVs. One small problem with that, isn't there, Tommy? When you're dehydrated, it's hard to get an IV started. So they literally took her from the room that she was in and took her across the hall into this other room. They strapped her onto this board, and they ushered us out of the room and locked the door behind us. And we could hear her in the room screaming as they were trying to get this IV started. Let me assure you, at that moment in my life, I was not going, thank you, Lord, this is a wonderful blessing. I was praying, but I wasn't praising at that moment. She was, if my memory serves me correctly, she was on IV for about 24 hours before she could even wet a diaper. She was so dehydrated. But God saw us through that. God healed her through that. It was not an enjoyable time, but he reminded us that he's there for us no matter what we go through. Mary and Martha wanted out of their trial, but that wasn't God's plan for them, at least not yet. They wanted their brother to get well, but Jesus had different ideas about how that was going to take place. When you cry out to God in your concern and your worry, he may move quickly to remove you from your situation, or he may keep you in it for a while. He has a plan. He has a purpose. You can count on the fact that you can trust him to be there with you. Mary and Martha were concerned, and for obvious reasons. So we see stage number one of their blessing. Stage number two, Mary and Martha, we see their grief, Mary and Martha's grief. Let's take a look at the text here in John 11, beginning in verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died, yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. ever. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world. Having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. As soon as she heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, so they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to cry there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was angry in his spirit and deeply moved. Where have you put him? He asked. Lord, they told him, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying? It's an amazing text, an amazing insight into the heart of our Savior. The fact that he would be so moved, the fact that he would cry over the loss of a loved one, a reminder of to us that grief is normal, that grief is something we can expect in our lives. But I know grief is not something we consider a blessing. October the 1st, just a few days ago now, exactly 9 years ago, my father passed away. I can remember sitting on the couch and trying to prepare the message for his funeral. I wanted to preach his funeral. I felt like it was something that I needed to do. And I can remember being there preparing that message and just having moments of just absolutely having to stop and just cry. Thinking of what he meant to me in my life. Thinking about his goofy ways and his sense of humor. His love for God and his love for me. At the moment, it didn't feel a whole lot like a blessing. But then as I thought about things and realized I had my father for almost 40 years, what a blessing it was to have a father who cared about me so much, who was a part of my life and in so much of what I did. Mary and Martha experienced the grief of losing a sibling. Jesus didn't get there. He didn't heal their brother, and Lazarus died, and he was laid to rest in a tomb, and a rock was rolled in front of it. When Jesus finally did get there, they both said, if you had only gotten here, he'd be alive. You could have healed him. They knew what he could have done if only he had gotten there sooner. They knew the power he had, that Jesus could have saved their brother's life, but he didn't get there. We want God to show up, and we want God to do what it is that we want him to do right then and there. We don't want God to keep us waiting. We don't want God to work on his timetable. We want him to work on our timetable. Surely, God knows what our needs are, and he should know that we need it now, and he shouldn't wait for it. However, God has a plan, and in his timing, often his timing is for us to wait. And it's in that waiting that the growth occurs the most. Mary and Martha were now experiencing the grief of losing a brother, and it frankly seemed senseless to them that their brother had passed away, because Jesus could have changed it. Jesus could have done something about it. It's almost as if we think that God can only answer our prayers in the way that we're thinking. You remember Job said to his wife, should we only accept good from God? See, God allows those trials to come into our life. We have a good plan in mind. We think that God should fulfill our plan, should answer our plan, but God knows what's best, and his plan is higher and greater than ours. For those of you who haven't seen the movie Do You Believe, we showed it here a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, and there's a couple of characters in the movie that are, well, it's fair to say they're thugs, they're criminals. One of them is a younger brother. His name's in the movie is Pretty Boy. And his brother is known as Criminal. That's Criminal with a K. Now, they're dealers, they're druggies, they're gang members, whatever you want to call them. That's the lifestyle they're living. Well, to make a long story short, Pretty Boy gets saved. Comes to know Christ as his Savior, and it's a radical change in his life. and he wants his brother to know Christ too. Well, pretty boy has this money that criminal has stolen. He takes it to the church and gives it to the church. Well, criminal finds out about it and shows up at the church and literally at gunpoint takes the money back from the pastor of the church. Well, pretty boy shows up to try to talk to his brother. And his brother, of course, is mad at him and he starts to try to take things out on him. And then the guy that they had stolen the money from, a character by the name of Nefarious, shows up and he goes to shoot criminal. Well, pretty boy steps in and he takes the bullets. It's in that moment of grief as criminal is watching his brother die, pretty boy gives him a cross that he's been holding. In a scene a little bit later in the movie, criminal is in the hospital. He's on a stretcher out in the hallway because he hasn't even been put in a room yet. And you can see time after time he's just sitting there looking at that cross in his hand. He's staring at that cross. An officer walks up to him as he's on that gurney in that hallway and he says to criminal, "Are you the one known as criminal?" And criminal looks up at the officer and says, "I used to be." Clear emphasis there was that now criminal's heart had changed too. Now he had given his life to Christ. He had been changed because of what God can do in a life. Listen, I realize that was just a scene from a movie, but the truth is God uses bad things in our life to draw us closer to him. And he'll do it in the life of the lost as well, to draw them, to get them to turn to him. He will allow things to enter their life. Many times it takes rough times. It takes bad moments, bad events to get us to look up to God. Even as Christians, we have to confess that sometimes we have to go through the trials before we get serious about looking to God. Mary and Martha were going through a trial, losing their brother, and at that moment they couldn't see how it was a good thing, but God had greater plans than they were aware of. So the first two stages of Mary and Martha's blessing were concern and grief. The third stage of Mary and Martha's blessing was Mary and Martha's reward. I want us to take a look at what they thought was an awful moment that God turned into a glorious moment, picking up in verse 38 of chapter 11. Then Jesus, angry in himself again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. "Remove the stone," Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, "Lord, he's already decaying. It's been 4 days." The King James Version says there, "But Lord, he stinketh." It wasn't a good scene. Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this, so they may believe you sent me." After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips, with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." What an amazing, powerful thing we see there. A reminder that just when you don't think there's a way out, God makes a way. All along they're thinking, "You could have healed our brother. You could have made him better." All along, God knew he was going to call Lazarus out of that tomb and they were going to see something and experience him in a way they never could have if he had healed him while he was still alive. They didn't know the blessing they were in for. I don't know what it is you're facing right now. I don't know what it is that you're going through in your life, but I know Mary and Martha, what they were going through. They didn't think God could bring their brother out of the grave, and he did. And I want to say to you, you may not think God can help you through whatever it is, but he can. If he can call into a tomb and ask a dead man to walk out, and he comes out alive, he can bring you out of whatever it is you're in right now. You can count on it. God has allowed trials to come into your life. He has a purpose. He has a plan, and he wants you to know him more. I want you to consider that reality. Those trials are not there accidentally. They're there on purpose. God has a plan. I'm going to show you a slideshow that has a song with it. Some of you saw it last week. This is a song called Blessings by Laura Story. It's a reminder of the fact that even in the midst of those things that we don't see as blessings, God uses them as blessings. So what I want you to do is I want you to focus on this, and I want you to ask God to help you see those things that seem like such a heavy burden. Ask Him to help you see them as Him working out His good in your life. Would you do that right now? Are you willing to go through the hard? Are you willing to go through the struggle to know Him more? See, that's really the question. What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? We want God's blessings, and we want everything to be perfect. And let's just be honest for a minute. The trials that we go through, the struggles we experience, they're not always going to end with Lazarus being called out of the tomb. But they will always end with God on the throne. If we want to experience Him, if we want to know Him, we've got to be willing to endure whatever those struggles are. And He'll reveal Himself in a more powerful way in the midst of those struggles than any other times in our life. I know that's not fun. I know that's not exciting to think about. But our one heart's desire should be, give me Jesus. To know Him more. To know Him more intimately. To experience His presence. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to say to you, the only way you'll ever fill that void in your life, the only way you'll ever be able to find what that longing is and fill it, is by placing your faith in Christ. Ask His forgiveness. Invite Him into your life, and He will save you. Christian, again, I don't know the burden you're experiencing right now. I don't know what it is that you're struggling with, but I do know this. God is in control. He is on the throne. And while it might not feel so much like that right now, you can trust His promises. He is in control. Would you give it to Him today? Whatever it is, let go of it. Don't try to carry it any longer. He doesn't want you to. He wants you to let Him carry it for you. Trust it to Him right now. Whatever that need is, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You that You carry us through the struggles. Lord, that You minister to us and You have a plan for us, even in the midst of the worst of times, God. You work things together for our good. Now we realize that every story won't end perfectly, that every time we won't see things end the way we'd like them to, but God, we can trust You and know that You will work things together for our good, for Your glory. God, for those who are here today that don't know You, I pray right now they'd have the wisdom to ask Your forgiveness. God, help them to place their trust in You right now. And then Lord, for those who have trusted in You, I pray whatever the concern, whatever the hurt, whatever the burden, whatever the need, God, I pray we'd have the wisdom to give it to You today, to trust it to You right now. Lord, it's in Your wonderful and precious name we pray these things. Amen.